This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. For the next several weeks, my wife and I will be in Belize on a mission trip, so I'm going to be replaying some programs that were heard on the new birth some time back.
Now, read with me then from John chapter 3, and we're going to go to verse 14, which says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, we've noted that Nicodemus was a real man, and he met the Lord Jesus personally, and it changed him. The message that he heard when he met the Lord Jesus was the message that he needed to be born again. He was like many of us. When he heard that message, he didn't understand it. And he says, "How can these things be?" He was thinking that there needed to be two physical births. But the Lord explained to him, "No, you've been born physically. What I'm talking about is being born spiritually." Because we find out from other scriptures that God considers us dead. That is, we are completely cut off from him because of our sin. And until that sin issue has been dealt with, there can be no restoration of communication and fellowship with God. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we find out in John chapter 1, we become children of God at that time, and we receive him by believing in him. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So it's at that point that our sin question has been settled, and we are born again. That is, we begin a new life with Christ. Actually, you can see that in Nicodemus's case, a new person came into his life, a person whose friendship and fellowship, whose communication he enjoyed, and whose person he esteemed. And from that point on, his life was different. The new birth could be illustrated to some degree by getting married. Before we're married, particularly those of us who are men, we live a very self-willed and in some cases selfish life. We live for self. Before we're married, we can spend our money the way we want to spend it. We can spend our time the way we want to spend it. We can do what we want to do. But after we're married, if we're going to have a happy marriage, we spend our money the way we want to spend it. We begin to make our decisions with a we associated with them. It's not I anymore, it's we. And most of us can go back to that point when we received a woman into our lives, or if you're a woman, when you received a man into your life, when you were married to them, and you can say, "My life started over then. And from that point on, my life was different." You could honestly say, if you're enjoying your relationship with your spouse, that you began a new life at the point of your marriage. You'll notice in the marriage relationship that there was a time when you committed yourselves to each other, and it's like that in our relationship with the Lord. By faith we receive him, and there's a commitment there. And after that, we live differently, but we don't live differently after we're married in order to be married. We live differently after we're married to enjoy the marriage. Many people don't understand that about our relationship with God. This new life with Christ is something that we receive the moment we trust him, and living afterwards in such a way that we recognize he is in our life does not keep us married, but it keeps the marriage relationship, it keeps that relationship sweet. And so just as The way I live affects the quality of my marriage. The way I live will affect the quality of my relationship with Christ. But my relationship with Christ is established by my faith in Him that was exercised when I trusted in the Word of God that told me that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, as we look at our passage today, I want to recognize that John chapter 3 and verse 16 really tells us about God's work in salvation. John chapter 3 and verse 17 really tells us about God's purpose in salvation, because you'll notice in verse 17 we read, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now, it's interesting that we've been dealing with the new birth from this passage, but now we find the word saved in this passage as well. So we see that God's purpose is to bless us. His purpose is not to bring us into a condemnation. It's not to harm us. And then we can see that the results of what God has done is found in verse 18. And in verse 18, the results are very clear. They're black and white. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. So there is a great division found in John chapter 3 and verse 18. Now let's come back to God's work, because that's really what we were looking at when we left Nicodemus last time. He had understood through this Old Testament event in the history of Israel that Christ was to be the one who would put away sin. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And now in verse 16, that work is summarized. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, we're not going to spend a great deal of time on this verse, because we have spent some time on it before, but you just need to notice that in this verse, there's God's side of salvation, and that involves His love and His gift, the gift of His Son. But just because God has done all of that, just because Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, not everyone is blessed by that work. The work is sufficient for all. But the work is only effective when we trust it. And that's why in Moses' day the serpent was lifted up, but unless a person looked to that serpent, the poison of the serpent would have killed him. Might not have seemed like looking to that serpent would do any good, and so people might have thought it was a foolish message, but because we know that God performs His promises, we also know that everyone that looked to that serpent lived. It worked. In like manner, God has loved the world and has given His Son for the world, but the whole world is not saved, because the latter part of the verse says that whosoever, it becomes personal again. There has to be a personal meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. There has to be personal trust in Him, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So it's clear in the verse that there's a possibility of perishing, whatever that means. Now, other scriptures make it clear that eternally a person is banished from the presence of God and suffers for their sin eternally in a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. There is eternal conscious punishment for the unbeliever. The reason the unbeliever is punished eternally is because he has not accepted the only sacrifice that satisfies God on his behalf. Now, friend, I know that you understand the truth that God loves you, and I know you understand the truth that Christ died for you, but do you know that you have eternal life? Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted Him? When it says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, that's not just a matter of understanding the truth. We're going to an idea that talks about depending on the truth. We have politicians that we don't believe, but we believe in them. That is, we don't believe everything they say, but we believe that they are the best man for the job and that they will represent our district the best, and so we put our confidence in them. It's nice that with the Lord Jesus, we can both believe him and we can believe in him. And it's believing in him, that is, putting our faith and confidence in him, that links us to Christ and gives us a new life. Just like saying I do at a marriage altar brings a new person in our life and gives us a new life with that person. Now, friend, God didn't send his son to condemn the world. His purpose was to save the world. And that's why the gospel is being preached today. That's why even today we can assure you that if you're not saved, you can be saved, because God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, friend, that salvation comes when you recognize that as a sinner, you need a savior. And when you trust in the work of Christ to do that saving. It's not when you're doing something for God, but it's when you finally understand why God has done something for me. He has given his son that I might have eternal life. And you rest where God has rested, and you have peace about your relationship with him. Have you received him? Do you have that everlasting, that eternal life? Now, our program address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to add thy blessing to all that has been of thyself this morning, to remember those who are listening, and if there's those who are not saved, that even today they might come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive eternal life. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.